let us touch the king. Now, it's very important for the Lord to touch us, but it's very important for us to touch the king. He wants our touches. Let's go to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, where I want to start. Lord, I've been meditating on this, like I said, for several days. Got some blessings out of it. But I need the Lord to bring it out this morning. Get my papers in order here, I'll be all right. Isaiah 6 and 1, please. I said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord setting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the cherubims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, we had dinner with a neighbor Friday night, and we didn't get into all of what we've been dealing with politically and COVID and all that mess till on in the evening. And I don't remember now who brought it up, whether it was Mrs. Walker or Mr. Walker. But anyway, he told me that some months back, before the election, said he met a man somewhere, I don't remember where he said, and said the man was talking, and he said, well, said, I know this. He said, I don't, said, no matter who gets into office, he said, I know the king. I know the king. This morning, you and I have a opportunity, and this is something that has been on my mind for, probably months now. The very fact that we have the opportunity to have a God, a holy God, a Christ, a King, a Savior, one that is able to do what nobody else can do, that individual is willing to come down and smell in our assemblies, work in our assembly, to bless in our assemblies, to bless us at home, on the road, in the air, wherever we might be. God is there to do things that nobody else could do. And this man, he saw the King. They was crying, holy, holy, holy. Now, this is not just any King. This is a holy King. I want to ask you, how many of you has ever met people like a president or a vice president or a senator or a congressman, something like that? Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been to Europe and met a king or a queen over there? Somebody of quite royalty. You don't just walk up to that person and walk up to them and just do anything. There's an awe. There's a respect. There is something there because this is not just anybody. This is a person of authority and power. A person of glory, if you might say it that way. Well, maybe not glory, but high respect. And they're there. But listen, folks, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're able to meet Him, talk to Him, visit with Him. We're able to come to Him anytime, 24 hours a day. I have only had the privilege in my life of seeing a president halfway close up. And a senator. Now the senator was Senator Mark Hatfield of Oregon. And he was a man that I got to reading about him in the night. And he was quite a distinguished man. He was in the Senate for 30 years. He was governor twice of the state of of Oregon, and he was other things before that. But the bottom line, he had quite a distinguished career, and he come to the Hope Picnic, the Hope Adoption Program that we adopted the girls through, Mom and Daddy, adopted them, and we got to go on that, throw a big picnic every year, and a number of us would go out there. I don't know how many, 100, 150, maybe 200, 250, quite a crowd of people, and this senator come, best I remember, two different times. I was a little tyke. Well, I wasn't little. I was probably a teenager, young teenager. And I met him. And he was a very distinguished, but he was a very, I would say, humble man, loving man, kind man. He gave us children some time. He didn't have to be there, but he come down to be a blessing, if you might put it that way, to those people there. Listen, this king that I want to preach about this morning, this king is one that wants to bless you and I. He wants to bless us, help us, encourage us, lift us up. He wants to do things that nobody else can do with us and for us. He wants in the night or in the day, whenever it might be, he wants to come down and spend time with us. But you and I need to touch the king. And he said here, holy, holy, holy. Now this Jesus, this King of Kings is very, very holy. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. His house was filled with smoke. And he said, because he had seen him, because he looked at him, because he'd got a real vision of him, so to speak, he said, woe is me, for I have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've seen him. Lord, help us to get our eyes on somebody by the name of Jesus Christ that will help us to bow in humble adoration to who he is and what he is. Praise God. All right, let's go to Psalms 45 now. Psalms 45. My heart is filled. My heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory in thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Now then, he said, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. Oh, thank the Lord, you and I can touch the king. We can touch Jesus Christ. We can also, this is talking about indicting a matter. He said there that this is like a bubbling spring. In other words, you and I be bubbling over with the things of God that touch others. That's an angle of this. But another angle of it is that you and I can touch the one and only Jesus Christ. We can touch him in good, good ways. But there's ways to do that. There's areas to do that. You and I just can't go running up there, so to speak, in a proud way. We must be what God would have us to be. And he will respond to that. And I want to name out the things this morning that will help us to get real close to Jesus Christ. Real close. Touching the king. If you go up to and I didn't read this last night, but if we go and approach a king, there's certain things that you must do to that. You can't just march in off the street, so to speak, with no appointment and no, he can't do the president or a senator or a congressman. You've got to have appointments. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I believe in monarch, wasn't there a local representative or something that come to our monarch meeting one night last summer? I believe it was. And Brother Ed was very, very respectful of this man. See, those people are not just anybody, and we need their help. One of the longest running senators in the whole Senate that run was Strom Thurmond of South Carolina. He was about 100 when he died. He had been in office for many, many, many years. And Molly, my wife, and her first husband, T.L., they needed something. They needed some help. And they tried to do it themselves, and they couldn't get anywhere with it. So somebody told you all, or T.L. just decided, I'm going to go to Strom Thurmond. I'm going to approach him. And they did. They done it in the right way. He listened to them. And next thing they know, they had what they wanted. Listen, he was a man to help people. Listen, this Jesus Christ, this King that we've got where we can approach him. He's one that wants to help us, folks. He wants to heal us. He wants to save us and sanctify us. He wants to just give us blessings and glory. He wants to do things nobody else can do, praise God. This is the King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants to come down. And he wants to spend time with us right here this morning. And this afternoon. He wants to do it on a daily basis. But he wants you and I to approach this King in the right way. Praise God. It has to be, if I remember right, before you approach a king, they have to lay out a scepter, don't they? Where you can approach them. And so it's just things you have to do. Well, to approach this King, he said, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King, my tongue. And he said, thou art fairer than the children of men. These first five verses are pretty well talking of Christ. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace. There's nobody taught like he did. There's nobody has ever preached like he did. He was a man of power and authority and glory. It's poured into thy lips, therefore God hath blessed thee. I'm going to tell you, it'd be nice to meet him in the physical, like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John. It would like to be nice to do that. But listen, folks, most of the people then didn't even recognize who he was. But those that did, he blessed them. He helped them. Listen, folks, today, we can meet him. We can approach him. We can spend time with him, praise God. We can have the things that we need by the very power that he has to grant them. Strom Thurmond said, I'll help you, T.L. I'll do that for you. And he did. Today, Jesus has said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Listen, folks, he wants us to come to him and approach him. And he wants to bless us. He wants to bless you this morning. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh. O most mighty, with the glory, with thy glory and thy majesty. Oh, today the holiness. I want to lift him up this morning because he's so holy, so righteous, he's so godly. And you and I can approach him. We can approach him. All right. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. I want to talk to us about the first way, the first thing that you need to have in approaching the King. 2 Chronicles 34 and 27. Well, let's go 26. As for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his word against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. I have heard thee. You humbled yourself. Now then, 1 Peter 5 and 6, there's two scriptures, well, there's three scriptures here. 1 Peter 5 and 6, well, I'm in James right now. Let's go to James 4 and 6 and 4 and 10. 4 and 6 said, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. The 10th verse said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And 1 Peter 5 and 6 said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. That scripture in the 10th verse is almost identical, not quite, but humble yourselves. Listen, saints, today, if we're going to approach the king, we're going to have to do it with humility. Humility will do what nothing else will do, basically. There have been people that have come to people and they wanted something, but they were proud and lifted up, and they couldn't get anywhere because of pride. I've dealt in problems and situations through the years, and the way that I've seen that it's worked in my experience is humility. And it's not on just one side, but it's on both sides. Everybody has to humble. They've got to get down where they can work, where they can get out and where they can be blessed, where the Lord will start working out, and that will clear the situation up usually every time. But he told him, he said, because you humble yourself to me, because you cried unto me and wept unto me, I heard your prayer, I heard your request. Listen today, if we want to approach this king, if we want to touch him, touch the very depth of his heart, we're going to have to do it in real humility. Get out low before Christ. Get out low before this king. Get out there. He said, I want to touch the king. Oh, saints, to really touch him is touch him with humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. The Lord gave me that scripture one time when I was cleaning a bathtub, Sister Connie. And this bathtub literally, now no lie, this bathtub was totally sunk down in the floor. This was a two-story home, pretty good-sized house. And it was totally sucked down, and so maybe there's a little bit of that stand up. So to clean this tub, I either had to get into it, or I had to get prostrate on the floor and work with that tub this way. And I was laying flat out, and down there, and I was, I guess, meditating, I guess. And the Lord gave me that scripture. It said, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. Oh, we get down there. We get out where we need to be. Sometimes we don't think we've made a mistake. Sometimes we don't think we've done anything wrong. And I'm not talking about sin here. But that time I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, you made mistakes too, child. And I raised both hands up and looked straight up. And I said, who? Me, I didn't do anything. When he got through with me, I was about that high. I just got on down lower and lower and lower, and the lower I got, the more he blessed. And the problem was between a brother and I. He gave me scriptures. He told me what to do. And the first chance I got to do it was Monarch. And I went to this brother and we humbled our hearts. We got everything taken care of. And then when I walked away, the Lord flooded my soul with so much glory. I want to go do it again. Praise God. Touching the king. If we want to touch him, get out low. I didn't do anything, Lord. He said, oh, yes, you did, child. Everybody that has a problem between them, everybody makes mistakes on both sides. There's nothing as a perfect situation outside of Jesus and God. So consequently, he said, you made mistakes, and here's the way to take care of it. If you've got a problem with somebody this morning, there's a way to take care of it, and it starts with humility. Get on down there. He kept talking, and I got lower and lower and lower. And then when he got through, he poured it on. How many of you's had any glory lately? How many of you's had some real blessings from the Lord? The Lord wants to bless us. The King wants to bless us. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. He wants to heal us. But listen, folks, to get to the depth of it, you and I have got to get out. And we got to say, have mercy on me, Lord. Brother Sammons, when he was getting saved that night, he had prayed and he had prayed and he had prayed and he couldn't get anywhere really. And finally he said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, have mercy on my soul. And when he did that and he humbled on down to the bottom, the Lord saved him right there. Oh, today I've had my problems. I've had my troubles. But I found that when I just got on down there, when I got in there where I need to be with the king, just humbled on down, the Lord would come down and have mercy on me. He'd answer my prayers. He'd lift me up. He may not lift you immediately. He said, I will exalt you in due time. He's bringing you through a process. He wants to establish you and settle you. He wants to work with you and bless you. So it may take a little time, but when it's His time, He will bring you totally up, so to speak. He will lift you back up to a place where you'll be encouraged and uplifted. Oh, He said, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer, child. I've heard thee also, saith the Lord. Thou didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. Thou humblest thyself before me. I was real touched when I read this scripture. Oh, today, it said, humble thyself under the mighty hand of God. Just get on down there. He's not going to destroy you, but He's going to lift you. He's going to bless you. But you and I have got to see who He is and be willing to get down real low before Him. He's a King of kings and He's holy. All right, the next thing that we need to approach Him with is, what would you think the second thing? I've got several things wrote down, but and it doesn't have to be totally in my order, but let me ask you a question. Who can tell me what would be a way you'd think would be another good way to approach Him?
Praise.
Well, that'd be a good way. I hadn't thought about that one. What'd be another way?
Offerings?
Yeah, that'd be a good way. Hadn't thought about that one either. Good thing I did. We might be here all afternoon, reckon. But I'm thinking of love. The Lord wants us to love Him. He wants us to show that love to Him. He wants us to approach that King in love. Listen today. There is three words I've read down through my life that make the statement of I love you is three of the hardest words it is for a man to tell his wife. That's what they
say.
It's hard for a man to say, I love you. When's the last time you told the Lord you loved Him? Did you tell Him this morning or last night or yesterday or last week or a month ago? When's the last time you said, Lord, I love you. I love you. Listen, folks, He has given, He has He has abundantly poured out love upon us. If He hadn't, we wouldn't be here today. If He hadn't loved us, if He hadn't died for us, if He hadn't given His life and everything, and the whole thing because of love. It said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. He wants us to love Him totally and completely above everything else. When He was pointing to Peter and dealing with him over there in John, the 21st chapter, He said, lovest thou these more than me, or however He says it there. Let me get over there to that. And said there, how much do you love me, Peter? Well, thou know thou lovest me. Well, feed my sheep. All right, He says here. Lovest thou me more than these? Yeah. He said to him again a second time, Simon, Simon, Jonah, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Here's the thing, folks. There's a lot of people today say, I love the Lord, but they're not doing what they ought to do by love. Love will cause people to do things they wouldn't do otherwise. You love your wife. You love your husband. You will do things for them. You will gladly do things for them. You will do it and continue to do it over and over. When a person gets sick, say a mate gets sick, they have to care for that other person, whether it be one thing that scared me badly when I lost Rebecca, or one thing that disturbed me, I guess, and that was I got to thinking, if I got real sick and down to a point of death, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to stand between me and my daughters, because both of them believe in medicine. One of them works for her. She's a flight medic. She flies in these helicopters and picks people up and takes people and does things. And I can just see Donna shuffling me off to hospital real quick, or off to doctor. Well, I did have some problems, but it wasn't to that extent. And everything went smoothly. But when we love a companion, or we love a child, we're going to do what we can do to help them. Oh, the Lord wants us to show that kind of love to Him. And the fact that we want to tell Him we love Him. We want to show Him we love Him. We want to come to meeting. We want to testify. We want to do things for the Lord. If we're somebody that can sing, somebody that can write, somebody that can do something, we do it because we love Him. Love Him with all your heart. Not some of your heart. Peter, do you love me more than these? What is a these there? That's a lot. That's a big message right there. Love thee more than these. Oh, today, do we love the Lord more than other things? Things, and I know we've got to make a living. I know we've got to have a house. I know we've got to have a car. But the bottom line is we want to set our affection and our love upon Him above all of this stuff. If He calls for it, if He wants to take us away, we say, yes, Lord, I'll give it up because of You. But He'll give back again. He'll bless us again. So you approach in humility, you get real low. And as you're getting down there, you say, Lord, I love You. I love You. And He can tell that you love Him. All right, what is another thing that helps us to get to God? I want to go to Mark the 11th chapter. Mark the 11th chapter, 22nd verse. I can quote part of it, but I'm just going to read it. Let's go to the 20th verse. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. A way to get to the Lord is by faith. All of these work together. It's a connection is what it is. But Hebrews 11 and 6, what does it say? It says without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So today, Lord, help us. The Lord starts with an individual. Brother Clinton told me last night on the phone, there's somebody that's been, I don't know how long they've been saved, not too awful long. But anyway, they had a headache. So they went to the cabinet and they was going to pull out an Anacin or an aspirin or an Advil or whatever them things are called, isopropyl, and he's going to take that for the headache. And he got up there and reached up to open the door, and the Lord spoke to him and said, trust Me. And so he did. And I guess him and his wife went to pray, and he said the headache left. See, that's the beginning of more faith. That is a start. The Lord wants to build a foundation, this king. This king wants to build a foundation of faith under us where we can stand solid in the things of God, where we can come to Him and we can have faith. Well, over here, let's go back here to the 11th chapter, I believe it is, of Mark. Let me see here if I can find the one I'm thinking about. Maybe it's the 10th chapter. No, it's 11. 11 and 24 of Mark. It said... Well, let's just go on down 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that such things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Lord, help us. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, one thing I've got down here, and we're going to get into another deal, is attitude. A good attitude is something we need to have when we approach the King. If we don't have forgiveness, or if we've got something, maybe we've forgiven, so to speak, but our attitude toward that person is not real good. that can hinder us. The king knows it. The king knows. The thing about it is, he said, man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks on the heart. He knows what's in there. He knows when we come to him. If we're humble, he knows if we love him. He knows if we got faith. And he knows if we've got a good attitude or a bad attitude. All right, let's go on over to Matthew 15. This is my next scripture. I love this reading right here. One of my places, 15 and 22 of the good book of Matthew, 15 and 21, said, Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, look at, consider, and weigh. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, said, send her away. She crieth after us. Get rid of her. But he answered and said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, one thing that stands out is this woman's attitude. She could have got an attitude toward Jesus real quick, but she didn't do it. He called her a dog. How many of you would be like called a dog? Brother, would you like to be called a dog? Are some of you ladies in here coming to the Lord and he just called you a dog? He wouldn't even listen to her at first. She was crying out to him and the apostles come by and just get rid of her, Lord. She cried out, oh, we don't want her around here. She's not part of the Jews. She's not one that you were sent to preach to. You were sent to the house of the Jews and sent there. And she's on the outside of this and you're not supposed to help her. Get her out of here. This woman didn't quit. Number one, she was importuning. She didn't stop. All right, when you and I come to Christ, we must have humility. We must have love. We must have faith. We must have a good attitude. But we also must be importuning. All right, let's tie that in with the 7th chapter of Matthew. Another one of my good readings I like in here. 7:7. He said here, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, what man is there whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil or human, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now listen, folks, my daddy was good to us children. Mama was too. I was adopted. But they treated me very, very good. They done things for me over and over. It got up time for me to begin to launch out and maybe have a place and so forth. They helped me get a loan, helped me buy a property, helped me have something to go on that. And they were very good to me. But listen, folks, Daddy made pretty good money back there. We lived in a 3,600 square foot house. Had three car garage, so to speak. It wasn't built three car like you see today. But it had two on one side, one back here, and had 6 acres of land to start with. And I thought, boy, we're doing pretty good. But listen, folks, today, this king is greater than your fathers and your mothers. Your daddies have done you good. Your mamas have done you good. But listen, folks, this king owns the whole world. He's got everything in the palm of his hand, so to speak. He controls everything. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So if we need something, this king is the one to approach. And have a good attitude when you approach him. If you don't need it, don't ask for it. I was in a shoe store one time a number of years ago. This was in Joplin, Missouri, and I bought different shoes there through the years. They were a Fortune shoe store. They were it's not a second hand, but in other words, it was one that had shoes in there that you could buy at a decent price for a poor boy. And so I would go in there and I'd buy shoes. And I was in there one day and I was looking around and they had some shoes there that I liked and everything. I was looking at them. I looked all around. I said, well, I'm going to buy them. I don't really need them, but I'm going to buy. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, no. He said, you don't need those shoes. I want you to take the money you spend on the shoes and put it in the offering box. Well, I did that. He knew I didn't need those shoes. But he, listen folks, today, when we need something, oh, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, get a hold of this. Lord, help us here this morning. Ask and it shall be given. Seeking you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Listen folks, we may not get something the first time we ask for it, but I'm going to tell you, it said seek and knock. In other words, if you don't feel your prayer's been answered or know it hadn't been answered, don't quit. That little woman, when she come to Jesus, her daughter needed help, and she wasn't going to quit. She kept on. She said, well, the dog's eating the crumbs from under the master's table. In other words, I'm going to get down as low as I need to go. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to be small. And the Lord's going to have mercy on me. And that's what he done. Well, he said here, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now then, I'll go a little further, grandpas. Grandparents, let me tell you something. You'd do about anything you could for them grandchildren. Number one thing you do is you spoil them rotten and then send them back home to mom and daddy. I don't get to do mine that way. Not like I like to anyway. I told Brother Bob when he came down to Kelsey's wedding, he eased in there by his daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren there, and he was sitting smack in front of me. And I eased up and I said, I sure wish I was in your spot. He looked at me kind of puzzled. I said, in other words, what I'm saying is I sure wish I was there if my granddaughter was here where I could play with her. You're blessed. Well, I'm going to tell you, said, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? He asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If ye then being evil or normal or natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Listen, folks, parents, give their children good things if they ask. When I was young, I used to come to daddy on vacation in particular. And I I learned anyway, that usually if I asked for an ice cream bar or soda pop, he'd give it to me. We was on vacation, see. We was out in Yellowstone, or was out in Colorado, or was out in Wyoming, or wherever it might be, Montana, and he'd give it to me. Give good gifts. They no doubt, they have, the Lord has given, or you have given good gifts to your children, but how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And she came and she worshiped him. That's another point. She worshiped him. What does worship mean? It means chiefly and eminently the act of paying divine honors to the supreme being, or the reverence and homage paid to him in religious exercises, consisting in adoration, confession, prayer, thanksgiving, and the like. Prayer is the chief part of religious worship. To adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration, to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission, to perform acts of adoration, to perform religious service. She came and she worshiped him. She acknowledged him as the king. She acknowledged him as the one that could help her. She acknowledged him as one that she knew. She knew said, "Lord, help me." She worshiped him. When he slapped her down, folks, she got a little lower. The Lord gave me a message. So I don't know how many years ago. It's been probably three or four now. Down in Roger, never preached a sentence that I can think of. And it said, "How low are you willing to go? How low are you willing to go?" I thought I had this on silent. I guess I don't. Somebody sent me on Sunday morning. Isn't that something? How low are you willing to go? In other words, if you approach the king, if you're coming to him and seem like you're not getting anywhere, do you check your attitude? Do you check your faith? Do you check your love? Do you check your humility? Do you say, "Lord, search me"? In other words, if there seems to be something that's not quite right, what do? If we want to get to him, we're going to have to approach him right. When we approach him right, then we'll get. He said he will give those things to us. He will bless us. Well, I need so and so. Listen, folks, this king owns everything. He'd give you a jet airplane if you need to. President Trump's got a what? A 737's got gold in it. He flies in 747s or whatever the Air Force One is. But let me tell you something. This king has all the gold. He has all of everything that you and I need, all the money. We're in troublesome times. There's a lot of people disturbed by what's going on. The election and the COVID and all the riots and the protests and stuff like that. I sat down the other day and was fixing to read some scripture. And as I sat down, he gave me one of my favorite verses. He said, "I'll lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth." And that word, "my help," it just stood out in my mind. I thought, "Lord, that's it. My help, your help, is this king that's sitting on the throne, that's sitting high above, and is able to do anything we need him to do." Well, it's going to get bad, Brother Carl. It might do it. The economy may totally collapse. If they don't do something right, it might. It almost did the first go around when they locked everything down. But the bottom line is, he took and fed, Elijah, wasn't it? With what? He sent a big old crane over there and ate a lot of meat. He sent him with a raven, didn't he? He sent a raven over there and put him by a brook. Now, he probably didn't have steak and taters every day, but he had something to keep him alive. And then he sent him to the widow's house. And they had a meal that she cooked up and made cakes and had water and everything for a while. Today, Lord, help us to approach the king right. He wants to help us, saints. He wants to bless us. He wants to encourage us. All right, let's go to Mark 5 and 25. Let's finish up. Begin to finish up anyway. I'm not got too much more. 5 and 25. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've heard this preached on many times down through the years. I'm thankful for the Bible, aren't you? I'm thankful for what's written in the Bible. We can get correction, but we can get encouragement too. And a certain woman would have had an issue of blood 12 years and suffered many things, and many physicians had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who toucheth my clothes?" The disciples said to him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touches me?" And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell. She came and worshipped him. She came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, Listen, folks, when these people done what they done, they were blessed. They were healed, or their daughter was healed. Whatever the need was, Jesus responded. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now over here in Matthew, didn't it say there too, thy faith? I believe it does. I think it says in there, daughter, thy faith. Let's see. Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He rewarded their faith. He rewarded their humility. The very fact that she got up and pushed and got on through the crowd. Listen, folks, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep us from getting close to the Lord. How many of us has touched the hem of his garment lately? How many of us have prayed through and knew we prayed through? Knew God had answered prayer, praise God. You touched the king. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. All right, Luke 6 and 17. Luke 6 and 17. I added something here. It says here, and he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now, Brother Salmon made a statement one time. This was private. When I say private, we were in a home. He and I were staying there. And this is before I was married the first time. And we were down in Alabama, Brother Roy and Heron's house. And we were there and he made a statement. He said, the Bible said that he healed all them that come unto him. And that hadn't really set into my mind and it hit me there. And he said, it says it in a couple of places and it does. But here he's saying here, it said, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Is he still willing for us to touch him today? Yes, he is. He wants us to touch him. He wants us to come in faith. And he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Daughter, great is thy faith. How is our faith this morning? Could you put it on a scale of 1 to 10? Where would it fit? 5, 4, 8, 9, 7, 6. Where would it fit? Where would our faith be this morning? Listen, said, when he comes back, shall he find faith on the earth? Brother Ed made a statement here recently in his preaching. I brought out the fact. He said that scripture, I think he said, troubles him. In other words, I don't want to be one of them. I want to have faith if he's here when the Lord comes back. Listen, both. Come with faith. Come with humility. Come with love. Come and importuning and being with a good attitude and getting on down. And when you do that, the Lord's going to bless you. The Lord's going to bless me. Oh, today, touching the king. How many of you feel in the last little bit that you've touched the king? All right, 1 Timothy 6 and 15. We'll finish up. 1 Timothy 6 and 15. Who in his times he shall shew who is the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see him, to whom be honor and power everlasting. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That neighbor said that man looked up and pointed up and said, I know who the king is. Oh, today, how well. I mentioned that I'd seen one president. The one president was President Kennedy back there, and he was in a motorcade in Oklahoma City, And Mama took us and got us in a spot where the motorcade was going to pass. Back then, I guess they let her know where it was going to be. And I got to see him as he went by waving. That's the only president I've got that close to. But thank the Lord. I used to have a king, folks. His name was Elvis Presley. And he was my king when I was a boy and a young man, young teenager. And I loved to sing. I tried to go to a concert of his in Oklahoma City one time, and I tried to buy the cheapest ticket that they had. And she said, "I'm sorry, it's sold out." Okay, what's the next one? "It's sold out too." "What about the next one?" "It's sold out too." I said, "Well, what about the highest ticket you got?" She said, "Everything's sold out." And I didn't get to go, and I'm glad I didn't. Because after that, I met the real king. He come by, and he started dealing with my soul. He started calling me, "Come to me, all you that labor." And I began to listen to that call, and the conviction and the workings, and I began to melt on down, gradually getting lower and lower. Until finally, I fell on my knees by my bed and said, "God, have mercy on me and save me." I don't remember what I said. It's been 49 years ago now, October 31st in 1971. But the bottom line was, he touched me. He touched me, saved the king did, and he brought me up and out. And he set my feet on a solid rock. He established my going. He put a new song in my mouth. He even prayed me into God. "Many shall see and fear and shall trust in the Lord." The king met me. He wants to meet everybody. But he wants you to approach him right. I had things that had stood out that I wasn't willing to surrender. But when I got to the place where I was willing to give it all up, he met me. People are holding on to stuff today, and they ain't getting very far. Let us let it all go. Let us get out before him with faith and love, humility, with good attitudes. And if we have to be importuning. All right, two more scriptures. Revelation 17 and 14. Revelation 17 and 14. "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful." And in 19 and 16... it says here, it said, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The great king. Thank the Lord for the privilege of knowing, meeting, serving, loving. Thank the Lord for him coming down. Brother Salmon said, he hadn't been saved too long. And he was riding into work one morning, if I remember right. And he said, I guess he was praying while he was riding. And he said, "The Lord come down." And he said he started blessing him so much, he literally pulled over the side of the road and got out of the car and shouted. At that time, the Lord was giving me victory over the people that I hadn't been able to forgive. I know they probably thought I was crazy when they was watching me going down a road and I doing this and everything, holding on the wheel, doing all these things. But I was doing what he told me to do. But folks, to get those kind of victories, you got to have him, but you got to approach him rightly. And I told him when I couldn't forgive, I tried, thought I had it, found out I didn't. Tried again, couldn't do it, thought I had it, found out I didn't. And finally, in tears, I cried out and I said, "Lord," I said, "you're going to have to help me with this." I said, "You got the key to this deal. You've got it. It's going to take you." And when he come down, he gave me everything I needed to get the victory. He just spoke to me and this. He said, "What do you do when a person dies?" I said, "Well, you put it in a casket." I said, "What do you do then?" I said, "Well, you shut the lid." He said, "What do you do then?" I said, "You dig a hole." He said, "What do you do then?" I said, "You bury him." He said, "You got to do that." The bottom line is I have to die after self, after one, after one, after one. I don't remember how many. I'd have to count them all up. But it wasn't two or three. It was a whole bunch of people I had problems with. They had stabbed me in the back, shot me, done everything they could do to kill me. And I had to forgive all that. And I did, by the help of the king. By the help of the king.
He wants you and I to praise Him. Listen, folks, we don't praise Him enough. Listen, there ought to be audible praise. One brother, the name of Brother Charles Smith, that most in this building have never met because you're too young. He'd been dead for a number of years. But he said he was in a meeting one time. He's up on the front row. And he said the Lord got to bless them, the service and the song service. And they jumped up and they started shouting. And he happened to look and said a whole slew of people had got up and shouted. You don't see that much anymore. I have been told by people there's not much fire in the pulpit anymore. Lord, help us to approach the King and get what we need. And be blessed by the God Almighty and Jesus Christ, His Son. Pray for me. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers this morning.